Tom Kissingberry here. Nah, I'm just kidding. We don't have Tom Kissingberry money. It's just me, Peter Howard, and Jake Anderson meeting at the Dynasty Crossroads once a week for 30 minutes to talk about one player at a time. We look at the film with Jake, we talk about the analytics with me, and we try to come to a consensus. We do have a pretty cool theme song, though.
Peter crunches numbers, and Jake just grinds that tape. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Meatloaf Wildcat, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Andrew NFL Draft, and I've got a draft problem.
That's not how it goes.
Oh, sorry. Trade problem. Sorry, first time on the show. First time listener as well.
I think it's like your third time on the show, to be honest, but that's fine.
Something like that, yeah.
That's cool. Just start the show off by hurting my feelings. That's fine. Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 104 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. We are here. Draft week, everybody. Happy draft week.
Happy draft week, finally.
And I figure, what better day, what better week, what better guest than the myth, the legend, the Mandrew himself, Andrew Harbaugh.
How are you guys doing?
Better now that you're here, and I get Andrew's too cool to show us his actual face, so we get a little picture of baby Andrew. You're like what, like a good like 2-3 years old in that one?
Yeah, I want to say between 2 and 3.
So if patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you get to, you know, hear us talk, but you get to see a cute little picture of little baby Andrew Harbaugh. There you go. That's worth the money, ain't it?
Absolutely.
Whew. Okay, well, there is, like, well, that's not what I was going to say. So Andrew's been on the show before, so we don't need to do the interviewee stuff, but not only as a man, but as a professional, he has grown. So, Andrew, why don't you tell us your current ventures in the football world?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm one of the co-founders for Coast to Coast Scouting, something me and a couple of buddies started. We're coming up on a year anniversary because I just got the thing from the website telling us it's been a year since we started it. Today is a receipt. And it's been a roller coaster. I've gotten to do things I didn't think I'd get to do ever. I know for me, I'm not acting like I'm anything gigantic by any means. But just for me, coming from super small town and middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, graduating with 16 people in my class, me being one of them. Getting to, like we talked about before we started with Brian, getting credentialed for Penn State games, getting for the Senior Bowl. We got to go to the Combine this year. We weren't credentialed, but we got to hang out around the NFL teams and GMs and stuff like that. And just a whirlwind experience for me as a person, and then just really grew as a podcaster, a writer, an analyst, a scout, kind of coming into my own a little bit more, and just completely different than I think where we were last time I was on. I think last time I was on, I was just with Dynasty Happy Hour, and absolutely nothing bad to say about my time there. I shared today that they're looking for writers, and that was the first person to give me a crack at it was Tyler, and I worked my way from there to where I'm at now, and I'm just getting started, like I said. So we're only a quarter of the way done with draft stuff, because I joke each day we're kind of inching towards it, so tomorrow will be 50% and go from there. But It's an absolute blast. I'm having the most fun with it than I've ever had doing anything.
So does your world just hit a reset in like 5 days or however, I guess like 7? Or do you actually still talk about these? It feels weird to say kids, but they're half my freaking age, so I'm going to say kids. Once these kids technically get drafted.
So now you said I wouldn't plug my stuff, but I'll plug it here now because I've got a fantasy guide dropping Monday after the draft.
And when dude, I'm setting you up. You know, this is me plugging you, man.
I was putting in dates of birth and how old guys will be when they're drafted. And there's a lot of 20-year-olds and there's a lot of 21-year-olds. And like the one, Jerry Jeudy turns 21 on draft day on Thursday. And I was joking that he'll get to have his first legal beer to celebrate him getting drafted. So it's crazy just to think how. I'm only 25, so I'm not even acting like I'm that old at this point. At least I'm telling
you. You're a damn kid,
that,
too.
But I know. And it's just so crazy. But as far as getting done with everything, I've already got Tyler Browning at Diabetic Tyler. He's the head of our scouting department for Coast to Coast Scouting. And we've already got over more film than I had at this time last year. I've already got gathered up on a 2021 watch list. So I was already organizing that today, actually, on my break at work, and I'm already ready to jump into 2021, guys.
Nice. Okay, so you said you have a fantasy guide coming out. What are some things, what are some selling points, I guess? You know, sell these people listening. Why should they go buy your draft besides the fact that I say so? So go buy Andrew's drafts. What the hell, guys?
Well, I was going to do a buy, but here's I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop a link in it to donate to I talked to Andy Singleton from Expand the Box or Outside the Box Score, Expand the Box Score.
I'm Expand the Box Score.
Plug-in. Yes. And I was talking to Andy because he's a New York City fireman. And I asked him, I said, what are some organizations that can do some stuff with the COVID for the first responders? And he gave me some ones. So I'm going to drop some links for there. I'm not going to ask people for money just because so many people are out of work right now. And I'm one of the few blessed that actually still work because my job was deemed essential for now. But I'm excited to get it out there just because I was going to do a full-blown draft guide. And it came out to mind with me probably about mid-March is when I shifted gears, which was pretty late and ballsy, to be honest. And I was like, do I want quality or do I want quantity? And I figured I'm comfortable with the fantasy stuff. So we're going to have depth chart analysis. I'm going to have training camp invite guys who like guys who weren't drafted, but the best of those, rank them out. I'm going to work on getting stat projections included in it, the PDF. So it'll get updated as I kind of post the link to it. We'll have outlooks on the guys. I'll have their college production there because that's so big for so many people and different things from fantasy, even though it's not the end all mean all. For guys like Josh Jacobs, for example, and then stuff like that. So it seems to be interesting to see what other stuff I can get plugged into it. But it's got enough at the start of it to kind of get you to bite the proverbial hook, and then hopefully from there I'll just go from there.
Rock and roll. So there you go. It's not even that you're buying. Just he's such a good person. That's why you should go do it anyway. Look.
Well, like, depending on what you ask.
Yeah, like you don't even need to sell. You're that good. But we're gonna move on.
I don't need it. So yeah, I was gonna say the first responders I know in the chat there, it's joking with everything going on in the world. But I think it's a little bit of positivity, and New York's getting hammered right now. And I know a couple people out there. So even if you never know what a dollar can make a difference with, is what I tell people. So
all right, you gotta just stop being so good. I'm the good guy on this show. You're stepping on my toes.
What? You're,
right,
you're the good guy on this show.
Aren't I?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Sit back down. I say to the man sitting in his chair.
Oh, my.
So I have to say, while I love this time of year, like I love draft week, for the pure reason of the BS that comes out right now. Like, we have no real news. There is no real news, but it is so much fun stuff going on that we're going to call this the news. So, Brian, hit us with the news.
The news!
Okay, so let's start at the top. The one that actually, the two, I think, that actually sounds somewhat realistic. The Jaguars are looking to trade Leonard Fournette, which makes complete and perfect sense. That he has no guaranteed money. He's wasted there. Some win-now team can give decent compensation because he doesn't cost a lot of money. So it makes a lot of sense to get rid of Leonard Fournette. Will it happen? Probably not, because, I don't know, things don't usually happen. But I bring this up because, A, it's just fun to talk about, and B, I read an article. I didn't read an article. I'm just kidding. It was a tweet. That's the longest my attention span will get me. But there was a quote saying that there was a person, front office person, that thinks there's going to be a lot more teams trading their picks for players because of the screwed up process that is right now, where you couldn't meet with people. There was no pro days and stuff like that. So people don't necessarily want to take the risk. So, I mean, hey, man, like, they're becoming dynasty owners, right? You know, hit rate on picks, getting, you know, known production. So maybe this Fournette thing is for real. So I want to know, let's start, Mr. Brian Haar. What do you think of Leonard Fournette, and what do you think the possibility of Leonard Fournette getting traded does to his value?
Depends where he lands, obviously.
Yeah, but we can't do that. Right now, what does it do?
I would think it would increase his value. Just because, because here's the thing. I mean, that Jacksonville offense, you excited about it? Have you been excited about it in the last 5 years?
I mean,
stop lying.
Minshew mania, man.
Get out of here.
I'm honestly excited to see what Minshew does his second year. Like, he had a fantastic year that nobody has talked about. And I think if they draft around him, it'll be interesting. But if they don't draft around him, then to answer your question, no.
Well, you tell me, what do you guys at the Coast to Coast think? I've seen a lot of mocks having Jacksonville taking CeeDee Lamb.
I think at 9, I would probably take one of the receivers there if they don't trade back. I mean, honestly, even in the first round, I think no matter where they go, stay in the top 10, get a guy like CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. I don't think Lamb gets past 8, though, if Arizona, if all the tackles are gone. But anyway, take a guy like Jerry Jeudy, because I think Denver's going to trade up for Ruggs. And say they trade back to the teens or the 20s. You got T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson, someone like that, I think would be a lot of fun as well, opposite DJ Chark, who also had a very, very good year. Because they have the spot opened up now. They just released Marquise Lee. And I'm not sure how many targets he got last year, but I know at least from other people leaving and so on and so forth, they got Tyler Eifert. If Tyler Eifert's healthy, it could definitely be interesting. I wouldn't say it's anything I'm going to watch on Sunday Ticket, but I wouldn't say it's completely dismissed as an offense as far as entertainment factor goes.
Okay, so Stompy brings up the point that I was thinking. In his words, in Jacksonville, isn't he guaranteed 250-plus carries and 70-plus targets again? If he's traded, you can't really guarantee anything. My two things with that, which, honestly, I don't know how to read the situation, because, I mean, I thought Chark showed he was a dude, like he's the dude, and now they're talking about drafting another receiver in the first. My question is, if they do draft another receiver in the first, are they turning into a passing offense? Are they going to run the ball less?
Fournette had over 100 targets last year.
Yes. And that would be helpful, but I don't know. I'd have to see that happen again before I agree with it. And isn't there, I don't know. My brain just froze.
So here's the other thing with, here's the other thing with Fournette. This is the guy that year after year, this doesn't necessarily have to do with his value, but he is the guy that year after year is campaigning for a new quarterback. It doesn't matter which quarterback's back there. He's been campaigning. I mean, when it was Bortles, he was campaigning for a new quarterback. Then it was Foles. He's campaigning for a new quarterback. Now it's Minshew. He's campaigning for a new quarterback. Like, I don't know. I mean, he obviously had a good year last year. I mean, it was the best year he's had pretty much in the league. So good for him. he's already 25. He's dealt with serious injuries, ankle junk, that didn't hamper him last year, but has hampered him pretty much every year previously. I think the reason I feel like it would be a good idea to get him out of Jacksonville, I mean, from the organization standpoint, I think it's a good move. And because I think, you know, they're in a position where even if they don't pick a running back early, I mean, they could pick a running back in the early second round and still have their choice of pretty much everybody. Probably maybe one of those guys goes, you know, maybe Jonathan Taylor goes, maybe DeAndre Swift goes, whoever teams like at the back half of the first round. But, you know, I think it would be a smart move for the organization. And then as far as Leonard Fournette goes, I don't know. It feels here like he needs a new start somewhere to me. And that, you know, moving teams, you know, Stompy makes a great point in the chat. You know, he doesn't have a lot of competition there. I mean, Reichwell Armstead's there, but it's not, you know, I mean, that it's not like they were splitting carries last year. I mean, Fournette was the workhorse. So it's likely to be the same if he stays in Jacksonville. And that's a great point. You know, so that from a usage standpoint, I think, he's fine staying there. I just would like to see him take things to another level if he goes to another team and gets that same opportunity. You know, if he goes to God, I don't even know, Indy or something.
I have
like that
place
or
in mind that I think he can go and potentially not miss a beat, and that's only because that staff doesn't like him based on how they've acted. Do not like who they got last year in the draft, and they have an extra second this year and an extra third, and they don't mind making trades for win now type of things. And I think it's the Rams. I think him with that offense super would be the only thing close to where you kind of see these same type of numbers, just because he could fill that Gurley role, I think, pretty well. I'm not going to say perfectly, but because Gurley, I think, is a little bit more athletic and is before the knees. So, I mean, they don't have issues taking on injured running backs, obviously, but take him. I mean, you could pick up his fifth year option if you want. You don't have to. And he's only $4 million on the books for a team that's already salary cap strapped. And I think that's going to be better for them than I think before anywhere they get a running back. Cause I mean, I don't think if they even have Malcolm Brown still on the roster, I don't have in front of me, but obviously they're not sold on Daryl Henderson. So, I mean, I would take Leonard Fournette over Daryl Henderson right now.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it, the Seahawks love trading picks away. So Leonard Fournette to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And then AJ Dillon in the first. So book it.
Exactly.
but let's segue this to at DFF underscore Calvin, Reichwell Armstead's value. Do we think that if the Jaguars do trade Leonard Fournette, that they're going to roll with what Reichwell Armstead and TJ Yeldon?
TJ Yeldon's up in Buffalo, I think, isn't he? Or did he go back?
Nope, he's still in Buffalo, but they don't use him up there either.
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah, that's right.
I don't think.
Who else is there? Divine Ozigbo?
Ozigbo. Yeah.
So clearly we're going to have to say they're going to spend a second, third round pick on a running back if they let Fournette go, right? Like,
yeah, I think so.
No one's rushing out to acquire Reichwell Armstead right now?
No, I think he's a sell candidate, to be honest. I mean, if anybody is buying because of this news, I feel like this is a good opportunity to cash in, especially if Fournette goes. I mean, if they do trade him, then I definitely think, you know, if they trade him before the draft, obviously in the next day or two, then, you know, I would definitely be selling Armstead.
I would say it depends, just real quick, if they draft anybody. I'm sure they will. I don't think they'll invest a top-end pick in it, but, like, just – I'm not even going to drop a name, but if they pick anyone before round four, I would be selling Armstead. But if they draft anyone after, like, round four, I would say they believe enough in Armstead to give him a shot. That means they're not bringing anybody who's real top-notch competition, but maybe somebody to just compete with carries until someone takes over.
Stompy's asking if Alfred Blue is still there.
Good question. I think he's in Houston, isn't he?
He just needs to retire.
Was he?
I don't care anymore. I mean, he was in Jacksonville, but yeah, that's a name.
Oh, okay, yeah, Jacksonville. Yeah, he did move. He did move to Jacksonville, but I don't know if he's there.
That's enough about the Jaguars.
Yeah, free agent right now, but
yeah, let's move on to another person the Seahawks might waste their draft picks trading for. OJ Howard is supposedly on the trading block, which would make perfect sense because we all know that Bruce Arians refuses to use a tight end, and OJ Howard is ridiculously athletic and very, very good at football. But who cares? He doesn't fit the system. Are we actually going to go try and acquire OJ Howard with the worry that he might not get traded and then you're stuck with probably nothing again? Andrew.
Brian, you can go ahead first.
So I know the Arians tight end thing. So here's why I'm not as concerned if he stays in Tampa. Yes, Bruce Arians doesn't use tight ends per se, but Tom Brady does. So
right.
And Tom Brady's running that offense. You can say whatever you want about
Tom Brady used Gronk. So he doesn't use tight ends.
And he used Aaron Hernandez. I was like not going to say his name. He's used the guy from the Colts that came over. He used him for a few games. Brady can use a tight end. And OJ Howard is an athletically gifted tight end. He had Jameis Winston as his quarterback previously, and he was, of course, in a romantic relationship with freaking Cameron Brate for some reason. So, I don't know what to think about OJ Howard. I've seen the prices that people are asking, and I don't want any part of him at the price, you know. But if I could get him in a tight end premium league at a discount, I mean, he's still young.
What's the
discount? He's athletic.
201.
No, not that early. I wouldn't pay that. I mean, I wouldn't pay an early first. It would have to be mid to late.
205. So if you're not trading for OJ Howard, is what you're telling me right now, because I don't think anybody in the right mind is.
Yeah, I would do it for 2/3. Thank you, Andrew.
Just random one I thought I'd throw up.
If you have OJ Howard on any of your rosters, are you selling him for the 205?
In this class, if I had tight ends, yes.
Okay.
If you're looking to replace him with a tight, like if he's your only like tight end, first off, I'm sorry. Second off, this isn't the rookie class to rebuild through tight ends. Like next year, 2021 is going to be your tight end year with 3 or 4 top notch guys. So that's where. It just depending on how your roster is. If you got other tight ends, yes. I would personally hold on to Howard just for the roller coaster of maybe A, he gets traded, great. If not, like you talked about, Brian, he uses tight ends. Tom Brady loves his tight ends. And I don't think Godwin and Evans are going to have the target share and the massive numbers that they have this year. And I think with Howard and Brady, even both of them, you've seen – Brady in the past be able to support 2 good tight ends. You've already dropped his name, so I don't have to be the first one to say it, but you know with her when he had Hernandez and Gronk, those were 2 very viable options for fantasy. I mean, obviously Gronk was better, but if you had Hernandez, you were still solid. So I would say at least hold on to him for now, but if you get a good enough offer, I mean, hell, nobody's untradeable. This is Trade Addicts, for the love of God.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so I think that's enough about OJ Howard because, I mean, there's not really much else left to say. So those are the 2 things I think that actually can and may sort of happen because they kind of make sense. The Cowboys are looking to trade for a slot receiver. And I think it said I don't know who said it, but the tweet / article title said Christian Kirk or Marquise Goodwin type. I don't know. Those are 2 very different players, so I don't really know what that means. But in such a deep wide receiver class, it seems weird to, like, I have a feeling you'd have to trade away a higher pick worth it than you just drafting a guy. So to me, this seems kind of silly at this point, besides the fact that maybe we're just, as a dynasty community, a little higher on Jarwin than the Cowboys are themselves. But with Cooper, Jarwin, and Gallup, it's kind of solid.
Andrew, do you feel like Dallas is a place where KJ Hamler could land?
Ooh, he'd be fun there. I think it's another place where OJ Howard could go, but we're done talking about him. but I hadn't even thought about Howard in Dallas. Now I'm distracted, so I apologize. But no, my thought is when you said slot receiver, I thought of James Prochet, who's like a late, he'd be a later round day three guy in the draft. Kyle Yates from Fantasy Pros was tweeting about him the other day, and he had 111 catches this last year at SMU with Shane Bichelle, kind of being the first quarterback to go through that program in forever. And like I said, 111 balls over 1,000 yards, and most of it was in the slot, so his route tree is not that great. But if you put him in between Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper, I mean, I think he'd be fine. There's a lot of guys in this draft, though. I could see them just kind of sitting tight and not trading up or giving up something for a Christian Kirk type and just kind of be happy with a rookie. Even if the guy falls in the draft because of character concerns, obviously Dallas does not care about that.
Does not care.
So I think with them, I think they'll address it in the draft. And they, like, we just got Michael Gallup, who was a guy that fell because of different issues, I believe, way back when. Only 2 years ago. But I think this draft receiver wise is deep enough. They wait and just kind of get somebody on day three and just end up being really happy with it. It's just a matter of waiting to see who that is.
Yeah. Since Brian and I both oohed when Stompy said it in the chat, he brought up Mike McCarthy getting Randall Cobb 2.0 in Lynn Bowden Jr. I mean, same school and everything. So kind of works.
Ooh, yeah. I didn't even think about it. Didn't see that part. I would love Lynn Bowden in Dallas.
Yeah, so
for all
the but I guess
they can say they have a quarterback.
Damn. But this also, I mean, I keep going back to what I said before, where that one front office person said it seems like there's going to be a lot of moves of trading picks for established players. But to me, wide receiver seems like the silliest place to do it because there are just so many people. And while, yeah, it's better to get people that are established in the league, I think you'd have to, like, would you rather send a third for Marquise Goodwin that you'd probably have to spend a third or a fourth send, or would you rather draft a wide receiver in the third in this year where you could probably get a player better than Marquise Goodwin? Like to me, like, that's the one skill position that it just seems silly to do. And
you got to keep in mind it's the Cowboys. That Cowboys front office is older. This is what I talked about earlier with the Two Green Browns podcast I did earlier in the day. Was I think with this draft, you're going to see the younger front offices do more of that. And I think you're going to see a lot of the older front offices, like the Cincinnati's, who couldn't even make their pick today in the run through mock.
Bringing that
like
up a little bit.
The Cincinnati's later. With Brown, the Cowboys with Jerry Jones. Those are the two oldest I could think of right off the bat. New England obviously is always moving stuff around, but I think the younger GMs, I think you're going to see moving around a lot more versus the older ones, just because, and I'm not even trying to be ignorant towards the older generation at this point, in case there's any senior AARP members listening, but I work with cell phones all day, and most of the people coming in with questions are older, so that's what I'm basing my educated guess off of.
Okay, so speaking of Goodwin, the San Francisco 49ers, it seems like that entire team and all of their draft picks are for sale. I saw a quote from John Lynch saying that they're, I think, looking to move their first one or both of their first rounders was the wording. And then he shares a screen. He shares a picture of his war room in his living room with 18 screens and 3 phones. I'm like, we're going to need those if you trade your picks away. It's so mixed messages, right? So I don't know what to make of any of this right now. And it's really freaking me the hell out. And it's what's, I love it. It's like, I haven't been this like on edge about a draft in a while. And I guess that's first of all, because there has been a lot more player movement in recent years. And because, like you said before, like Cincinnati, like they did a mock, like a run through, not necessarily a mock draft, because it's not like anyone's like actually giving picks away. But like the first pick didn't work. Like Cincinnati could not make a pick, like when they tried to do the virtual draft run through. Like, so you have to, like, some guy's going to be like, oh, I'm just going to trade my pick instead of having to deal with this stuff. Like, there's going to be some old man, and we're all going to whisper Dave Gettleman under our breath, that's just going to, like, try and get out of this. So, I mean, do we think, like, what do we think San Francisco's looking to do by trading all of this? Should we be worried about all of these assets that we have tied into San Francisco? You were shaking your head no, Brian, so you might as well expand on that.
Yeah, I don't think so, especially when it comes to the higher end assets. I mean, guys like Goodwin, yeah. I mean, they'll if they can move him, they'll move him. What they're trying to do is get more picks, because they have those two firsts, and then they don't have another one until like 130 something or something like that. So
did not know that.
Yeah, so I mean, I think they're trying to move those picks to acquire additional draft capital in a strong class. So, you know, I mean, as far as that goes, I think that's what they're trying to do. But yeah, I mean, when you're talking about the Debos and the, you know, I mean, the top end guys there, Debo and Kittle, and those guys aren't going anywhere. I mean, they're not moving those guys. They're talking about fringe assets. If they can get a, like Stompy said, if they can get a late round pick, a sixth or something like that for Goodwin, I mean, I would imagine they would do that pretty quickly. You know, they're just trying to add picks, add capital.
Something that just popped into my head, and I don't even know, I haven't bounced this idea off anybody, so it's probably going to sound really dumb, but just
love it.
Hearing it out loud now, with Gettleman and John Lynch. John Lynch has been pretty savvy with trades, obviously, trading mm-hmm. back from 2 to 3 in the haul he got to avoid Mitch Trubisky. Dave Gettleman has never traded back, but if you're the 49ers, they've talked about wanting Jerry Jeudy. Say you send 13 and 31, because they were talking about getting Evan Ingram too. Send 13 and 31 for 4 and Evan Ingram and throw some other stuff in there. I mean, I don't know. That's just something I thought of off the top of my head. But because that was the other thing, too, is they were talking about getting Evan Ingram mixed in there, too. And I don't understand where that's going to work out without doing a trade back and then using those said picks to acquire something like that. They're in a tough spot, like you said. They don't have a pick till I believe it's round 4 or 5. So they've got to do something.
Yeah, okay. I think I'm just going to move on from the San Francisco thing, because it really just hurts my brain. But we've been talking about Gettleman.
You're getting frustrated tonight. There's so many frustrating situations out there.
Yeah, it's rough. But speaking of the wonderful New York Giants front office, there was talk that they're really just still super like Herbert, and drafting him is not off the table.
That's
now, yes, it is absolutely like, oh man, like Gettleman should be fired on the spot if he does this. What's great is New York sports fans, where everyone's just, like, going nuts. Why shouldn't they take Herbert if they like him? Look, you know, if you're the Cardinals after this year, would you say they shouldn't have taken Kyler and stuck with Rosen? I know. Brian is shaking his head in disgust, and I mean, that's how bad I was laughing.
For crying out loud, I mean, how much, what does Daniel Jones have to do? You know what, it doesn't matter. He'll win 3 Super Bowls, and Giants fans will be bitching about him. Shut up. You got your quarterback. Like, who gives a shit where you got him at this point? You got him and you got Saquon in that draft. Like, I get it. I get the process thing, but for crying out loud, shut up about it already.
I don't like to. Daniel Jones played 13 games and had 24 passing touchdowns. Realistically, if he played the full season, he probably would have the touchdown record for rookies.
Right. Pardon my language.
Oh, God damn it, Brian.
Now you got to edit.
Yeah. Anyway, but my point is, sorry, I got thrown off, but Daniel Jones, I don't understand what this conversation's coming from, other than Dave Gettleman has a fetish for Senior Bowl MVPs. I don't know what it is with New York people with Rex Ryan and now Dave Gettleman having fetishes, but good Lord.
Gross. But I mean, it's the reason I really loved this, but A, making fun of Dave Gettleman is always fun, but it's just like, it's smokescreen time. And, you know, at least when the Redskins are like, they interviewed Tua, like, that's a little believable. Haskins getting Rosen is believable. The Giants taking Herbert. Come on, man. Like, really? Like, no. Like, no. I don't know. Like, that's... No.
I think it's them saying someone trade up in front of Miami.
100%. That's exactly what it is. Yes. And the fact that they couldn't... Like, that's the way they had to go about it is just ridiculous. Because that is just the dumbest thing ever. It was like, at least when the Lions were doing it, that, yeah, Stafford's coming off a back injury, and maybe they know something we don't about him retiring or something like that. But no, the Giants just had a rookie quarterback who I think played very well. Like, and you just said could have like had touchdown records. So like what, why? No, just no. So the last thing of the not news we're going to talk about is Jonathan Taylor did an interview where he multiple times brought up reasons he wants to play for the Seahawks, and I want that to happen. Just saying. That there's no news. There's nothing. I just want that to happen.
No, yeah, I wouldn't be upset about that either. Obviously, okay. He'd have to compete with Rashad Penny for RB1, but we'll have to see if he can make it through training camp for that. The eye roll I just got will be
that was an epic eye roll from Brian from Meatloaf Wildcat.
Loved Mandrew, it. Meet Peter Howard. Peter Howard, meet Mandrew.
Okay, insert tip of the hat gif.
Yes. As we all do it. All right, so that's all the fake news. I am just super excited for the draft. I'm super excited for the movement that's going to happen because, you know, trade addicts, and it's awesome that the NFL is leaning that way a little bit these days. So I just wanted to talk about all of that stuff. Plus, it was just fun stuff to think about. Let's do a listener question or two because we have more listener. That's a lie. We have the same amount of listener questions as trade addict trades. So we'll figure it out as we go along. Let's do listener questions first, Brian.
Listener questions.
As always, our good buddy at FL2 Drink Minimum hits us with something. Favorite rookie draft spots / players that could show immediate dividends. I mean, Jonathan Taylor to the Seahawks. So, Andrew, of all of your researching and mocking and all of this stuff, what has been your favorite go-to where you think it's just such a perfect landing spot?
I mean, I'll tell you. I don't think it happens at the end of round one, but if it somehow did, I would love DeAndre Swift in Kansas City. I think Joe Burrow in Cincinnati is going to find success earlier than more people think, just because they do have some weapons around him and an okay offensive line. Wide receiver-wise, I really think Arizona is going to go CeeDee Lamb, and I think if we see that happen, I think we could kind of see a Godwin, Evans situation in the desert where they just try to throw up 100 points a game because they're not going to be able to give up less than 50. And then for tight ends, I think this tight end class is tough. But I think if Pittsburgh goes that route at 49,
go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry. Finish. Apologies.
And I like Vance McDonald. Don't get me wrong. I just think somebody like a Cole Kmet or a Bryson Hopkins. Cole Kmet to me just
right off Goat Braun in front of me.
Cole Kmet to me, I think, could be a very fun Heath Miller type.
Yeah, and as Russ was saying, I mean, Mandrew, don't forget they picked up Eric Ebron, which I think is what he was referring to there. But if I look here, so here's the deal with that. Russ, I'm going to plug here too. So the Superflex Super Show is doing a live draft show on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, as well. Or I think we're live Saturday too, and then we're doing a mock after. But if the Steelers use the 49th overall pick on a tight end, you will see me absolutely lose my shit on the air.
I mean, Bobby did for Daniel Jones, and like I did when the Seahawks didn't draft AJ Brown.
it will be of epic proportions if they use the 49th overall pick on a tight end in a weak tight end class. I think what you're saying, Andrew, I'm hoping that Eric Ebron can be the guy that they brought him in to be. So I'm going to, for my mental health, I'm going to assume that that's the case and that they will move towards maybe a running back I would prefer, or, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of options. They need a defensive tackle. They need a wide receiver. They could use a wide receiver. So
they need Jonathan Taylor.
They, yes. And if that happens, you will see me lose my shit also in the opposite manner. Yeah. Yes. And James, the brain, that will be a fun, that will be an extremely fun.
I've seen that mocked a lot. And as a Browns fan, I do not like it.
Yeah.
Cause we cannot stop the run and I don't need to have to deal with JT23 twice a year.
Okay, so let's think of all of these wide receivers in the first round, like all of these places that have been taking wide receivers. The Broncos have been, I've seen Lamb, Ruggs, and Judy all at some point or another mocked to the Broncos. Justin Jefferson to the Eagles was one I saw recently.
Yep.
Yep.
T. Higgins to the Packers. T. Higgins anywhere. Just that's fine. I love that guy. I think whoever the Eagles draft is going to produce right away because, A, none of the receivers can ever stay healthy, and they don't really have anyone else anyway. I mean, they did extend Alshon, but Alshon, yeah, he's one of those people that can't stay healthy. I mean, we want Arthego Whiteside to be a thing, but he hasn't showed that he's willing to be a thing. So, I mean, we're still back to Greg Ward. So, I don't know. Justin Jefferson, I know there's people like Zach Reed who are just insanely high on Jefferson. Is Andrew, is he ready to be a number one? Like, can he walk in and be the guy in Philadelphia?
In Philadelphia, yeah, I think he could.
He will be the guy in Philadelphia, but like, can he physically, right. Like, will it work for him?
I think so. It really, for anybody to be a wide receiver one there, like, even just from a fantasy production wise, Wentz seems to have that connection with you, and he has it with Jeffrey. I don't know what it is with him and Jeffrey, up until recently, but it's kind of simmered out. But I think Justin Jefferson could really be a fun fantasy value from day one, in Philadelphia. I know Stompy put it in the chat too, Green Bay. Somewhere like that, opposite Devontae Adams. Neither one of those guys would get double teams, and then you'd just have points galore there. And you talked about the love with Jefferson. Before I got on, I was scrolling through Twitter, and Ray GQ and his infinite wide receiver takes, and he put on there that back in November that Justin Jefferson was going to be the value Jerry Jeudy, but he said now the week of the draft that Jerry Judy's the value Justin Jefferson, and I was like, oh. I was like, well, we'll simmer down here a little bit, but I get what we're getting at. But I love Justin Jefferson. He got a first round grade from me, not even from a fantasy perspective, but just as a draft talent perspective, and I think I had in total, I think I had like 24 receivers rated round three or higher. So, I mean, there's so many endless possibilities and different landing spots and roles the guys can mix and match in. And there's some teams that could support two of them, I think. But to answer your question, yes, Justin Jefferson could be a one in Philadelphia.
Okay. Do you think there's any landing spots for quarterbacks where, besides the obvious of Miami, Cincinnati, and Los Angeles Chargers, where we might see a quarterback get drafted early first-ish rounds and maybe have a chance to play?
I think New England is probably going to draft somebody if they're there at the right price. Like, and I think I could see New England traded back into the back end of the first, kind of pull a Baltimore did with Lamar Jackson a couple years ago, and kind of get a safety valve just because you got Brian Hoyer there and Jared Stidham, who I believe in. But obviously we haven't really seen anything of substance from him other than kneel down. So, but I think New England's one to watch. I think Belichick's got his eye on a couple different people, and I just feel like he's going to pull something. Like, I don't think he lets Brady go and doesn't have something in the wins as far as a plan. Yeah. The man's too much of a genius. I'll stop kissing his ass at this point, but some other places, I think Chicago could maybe end up drafting somebody if the Foles and Trubisky combination doesn't work out well. Other than that, like, I was doing my mock the other day trying to, like, I had Jordan Love falling, and I was like, man, I'm falling in love. See what I did there? And there was just nobody that really needs quarterbacks right now, like, in a dire way, to where I felt like, man, if a rookie could go in there, make a difference day one, a lot of them are going to have to sit and wait. So, like, if you're in a super flex league, I think it's going to really be Burrow, Herbert, Tua, and then after that, it's you got to kind of grasp at straws, so to speak.
Sorry, there's apparently a party going on upstairs. I just heard the blender going 10:30 on a Monday night.
Sorry, don't get off track here. My grandfather, we were in the Outer Banks, and there was a hurricane coming, and then we had a storm, like, hallway they had built into the apartment we were renting, and the first thing my grandfather took to use up an outlet was the margarita machines. So I totally understand priorities.
Damn straight, man. If that's going to happen anyway, you might as well just relax.
That's what he said. He's like, I don't want to know what's going on out there.
Okay, so that's enough rookie talk for now. I think we're going to move on a little bit. We are going to talk about at Chris Moxley 19. How do you balance contending and minimizing risk when it comes to 2020 season and the chance that it might not be happening, or at least may get pushed back? I personally, I'm putting my blinders on. I am plugging my fingers in my ears and going la 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 over and over again, and I'm going to say the season's happening, because that's all you can really do right now. It seems silly to sell Julio Jones, or, you know, if you have Manny Sanders on your team when he just walked into another awesome situation in the Saints, and sell him for next to nothing just because you're worried the season isn't going to happen. Are either of you doing anything differently than you normally would because of the chance of the season either being affected in some way, shape, or form, or canceled? Mandrew?
Right. For me, no. I mean, in the back of my mind, and this is so dark to think about, if the NFL can hide the concussion issues for as long as they did and keep making money, they're going to find a way to get the season going in September or at some point, some way. There's too much money for these people to lose at this point. I just think it's going to come down to that, whether it's they go big brother and put everyone in their own house and isolate them, or I don't know what, but it has to happen. I just think from a financial standpoint, they're not going to let this go.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I'm doing the same thing, Russ. I mean, I'm planning as if there's going to be a season, and I'll adjust accordingly if there isn't a season, you know, or if they push it back and, you know, do something entirely different. So, I mean, I think you have to. I think a lot of people are worried about it, and rightfully so. I mean, this is something that's never happened before, so it's not like we have a precedent for this. But, you know, I think that you really, if you're contending, right, and planning on the season, I think you have to plan on the season happening and just go with it. And then, again, adjust accordingly. You know, obviously, you're not going to get as much trading a Julio Jones a year from now as you are probably. Julio is that one exception, and we're not going to get into that whole discussion again tonight. But, you know, but those types of players, you're not going to get, you're not going to get as much a year from now as you would right now or leading up to the season, assuming that there is a season. But I just don't know that you can, I mean, sell them all. I mean, sure, if you can sell Julio Jones for, you know, a player that's going to get 80% for, if you can sell Julio Jones for Allen Robinson and a pick, or something like that. Okay, then yeah, if you want to mitigate the risk there because you're getting another solid performer plus some, fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not selling low on a player like Julio Jones right now because I'm afraid that there isn't going to be a season.
Yeah, I've even found myself doing the opposite. I've been trying to get like Marvin Jones and Manny Sanders thrown in on trades and trying to see if I can get them even a little cheaper for people that are worried that the season isn't going to happen. Because, I mean, yeah, Julio Jones is Julio Jones, but Marvin Jones and Manny Sanders are pretty old-ish. And, I mean, Manny Sanders is in his 30s already. So at low cost, I'm completely fine taking the risk that maybe Manny Sanders is going to perish on my roster. That's completely fine to me. I mean, I have been going out and shopping for Todd Gurley, I just to say, to bring up like a running back. And me buying running backs is a big deal. I've been trying to buy Leonard Fournette, but I still think I'm a little too low, even with the risk of him being traded to a bad team. But like, so I guess that's me saying that I'm willing to go and buy running backs now in April shows that I'm playing like there's going to be a season. I'm not really worried. I'm not putting that in my mind. Well, I am worried, but I'm not factoring that in because I think I've been saying this a lot lately. All you can really do is deal with what you know in front of you. And will things change? Yeah, but things can always change. I mean, this is a bigger, like Brian said, this is unprecedented. There's nothing been like this before, but there's always been something. There's always been something for teams, for individual players that has changed value before the start of a season, like from April, from February. So yeah, this can change a little bit of everybody. But also, if everybody misses the season, does it affect anybody's value, really? I mean, you'll probably get a few people that just, you know, I took the year off, I don't want to come back, I don't have it in me anymore. Yeah, that's going to happen, but that could happen anyway. Again, like to me, if it happens to everybody, it doesn't happen to anybody specifically. It happens, like it doesn't change one person. It changes everything. So it, like, to me, it's not worth worrying about. So if I'm contending, I'm full forward contending. I'm not worrying about there maybe not being a year, and I'm still going to buy those assets. Andrew, you're muted, but anything to add before we move on?
No, yeah, you're good. No, I think you can't operate that way. It's just like you're within reason with your day-to-day life. I mean, obviously, you still got to get up. You got to be a parent. You got to do this and that. And more importantly, you got to be a fantasy player. So you got to keep looking forward to 2020 and 2021. And like you talked about, having those extra guys thrown in later, all that's going to do is win you leagues. Worst case is it gets you – the league doesn't happen that year, and oh, well, they're a year older, and you could just sell them in the meantime. So, no, I think – I didn't even think about that, but just getting those guys thrown in I think is brilliant.
Okay, so that's enough of that question because I don't want to think about that anymore. let's do a Trade Addicts trade because why the hell not?
Trade Addicts trade.
Pick a number, Brian. 1, 2, or 3?
3.
Okay, so we're going to do the Trade Addicts 8 trade. This one, Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 point per tight end reception. And 0.05 points for return yardage. It makes my life easier when there isn't a TA1 trade, which there isn't this week. This trade, Keenan Allen and the 208 for Dwayne Haskins, David Montgomery, and the 212. This one is like, I love trades where it's a QB going in one direction but not getting one back because I think that changes value a little bit. And I want to talk about this afterwards, but first, Andrew, looking at this, first, how do you feel about Keenan Allen and his age slash value with the changing of the quarterbacks after the 18,000 years of Philip Rivers? And then what do you think of the trade itself?
As far as Keenan Allen goes, I think you're kind of chartering in the unknown. Just last time we saw Tyrod Taylor as a starter was with Cleveland, and he really didn't support anyone from a fantasy perspective then. Week one, you got a good week out of Josh Gordon, RIP. And I would say pour one out. That's probably not appropriate for him. But
not cool.
And it's 420, so we've got all the Josh Gordon things going on in the world perfectly. but that being said, I don't think Tyrod Taylor is going to be like – I think you're going to have spotty weeks with Allen. Like, I'm sure there's going to be weeks where he has a top wide receiver one finish, but I bet you get a lot of wide receiver two, wide receiver three stuff, whereas you look at his season as a whole and you're like, oh, wow, he had over 1,000 yards, and I'm sure the catches will go down, but I just think there's going to be no consistency with it, so to speak. So, but then as far as the trade goes, even without the Haskins aspect of it, and I think Haskins is going to have a bounce back year with a good system with Scott Turner, Darius Geis hopefully being healthy, Adrian Peterson, Terry McLaurin, and I think they're going to draft some people too to kind of get him going. And hopefully Ron Rivera gets Trent Williams back. But even just from the 212 for the 207, it's five spots. And this is a deep enough draft where I think that's a wash. But I really like the prospects of David Montgomery, his second year in Chicago. I think with the quarterback there, they're going to rely a lot on him and Cohen to kind of lead the way, kind of do a Minnesota Vikings thing there. So where they had Madison at times and Dalvin Cook and use them to kind of crutch up a average quarterback play. Hope my buddy Tyler's not listening as I speak down on Cousins, but
I was about to say the Cousins shade out of nowhere just seemed very unnecessary.
Well, you said I was so nice in the beginning. I can't let people think that's how I am. So, but no, I like the Montgomery side a lot, to be honest.
Nice. That's okay. Well, Brian, you're a Keenan guy. How do you feel about this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think Keenan Allen's demise is vastly overrated or however you want to say that, overstated, yes. I don't think that, you know, I mean, we're going to have to see, obviously, with a new quarterback. You know, now the thing is LA going to draft a quarterback? I think so. I mean, I don't know so, but I think so. So if they do, is it going to be Tyrod? How long is it going to be Tyrod? I mean, if
Tyrod's going to get Tyrod'd again.
He's going to get Tyrod'd again. Right.
Yeah,
including. Right. Likely. So, you know, I think Keenan Allen will be fine. Obviously, he's creeping up there in age. I mean, his value is going to start dipping because he's 28 years old, not because he's not producing. It's going to be the same type of thing that we've seen with other older receivers, Julio and AJ Green, and their value starts dipping when they, you know, when they reach that 28, 29 year old point. So, you know, I don't think the production necessarily is going to dip too bad, maybe a little, but not to the extent that a lot of people think. Having said that, I kind of agree with Mandrew here. You know, Dwayne Haskins was starting to play really well when he got hurt last year.
With absolute garbage around him besides
with absolute garbage around him and nobody blocking for him. Yes, exactly. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think we need to give the kid a chance before we just dismiss him. And actually, Stompy and I talked. Stompy's still in the chat. Thanks for hanging around, bud. We talked about this on a show that we did. I just think Haskins, you know, they could wreck us all and draft Tua 2 overall and then the heck with Haskins. But, you know, I don't think that's likely. And I think that they're going to head into the 2020 season with Dwayne Haskins as their starter. And I think that he's a player, you know, he didn't start very much. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of experience as a starting quarterback in college or I mean, it was 1 year in college, right? And now 1 year in the National Football or half a year in the National Football League. So he's improved everywhere he's been, you know, and the talent level there in Washington was just awful. So I'd like to see them put some more pieces around him. And if they do that, I mean, I always lean, you know, Russ, you said about how you don't see these deals often where quarterbacks go one direction and not the other. When the deal is close, I'm going to lean on the side that's getting the quarterback just in super flex leagues. They're just, you know, they're so valuable. So I would lean that side here. You know, Andrew made some good points about David Montgomery too. I'm not overly enamored with him, but I think he's solid. So I would probably lean that side too, but not by a lot. I think it's close.
See, here's my thing. Here's why one of the reasons I really wanted to talk about this, because in super flex leagues, you're always harping on if you're sending a quarterback, you got to get one back. It's not always going to happen, clearly, and it doesn't always have to. My thing is,
I saw this trade go through and I'm like, I think Keenan Allen's worth more than that. I mean, A, you know, you and me, Brian, we're still Keenan guys. We still think he's worth, he should be worth that, you know, wide receiver 12, 14-ish, which he will be most weeks. Yes, Keenan Allen is going to be Keenan Allen, and he's going to have a wide receiver 3 week every once in a while, because that always does happen. He has never been super consistent, but he also has 40-point weeks for the hell of it. So I looked at this, and I was just like, yeah, Keenan and the earlier pick for Haskins, who I don't think he's getting Rosen. I they're going to build around him. It would be... Rivera has come out and said that we're a young team. We're going to be doing this. We're, Haskins is our quarterback, whatever you could take that for, you know, coach speak. And then David Montgomery, I like the idea of David Montgomery. He's okay, but he wasn't great with a not great offensive line anyway. But like, and then you're moving back a couple of spots. And I'm just like, you know what? But here's my thing. If you are going to receive a quarterback without sending one back, you should probably have to kind of pay a little. Like, you're going to have to put a little bit of a premium on your side. So sending Keenan and the earlier pick to me makes it work. Like, that to me, if I was that other side, that's what you'd have to do. So that's why I, at first I'm like, oh no, Keenan, why are you giving the higher pick? Like, no, that doesn't make sense. But no, it, when I sat and I thought about it, it makes perfect sense. And yeah, I, you know, the me in me wants to still take Keenan, but if I'm one of those, I have a team, my Capitalist Pigs team, where I left last season having two starting quarterbacks, and by March I had zero because my starting quarterbacks were Mitch Trubisky and Jameis Winston. I would have to do this in that league, and I would be okay doing that, this in that league. So that's pretty much where I'm stuck at, and I think the value is Keenan, but I think that's what you have to do. And I think I've said that enough times that we could just move on at this point. So good trade, guys.
That is a good trade, actually.
Yeah.
Kicking the trading off in TA8.
I got to get a trade done in there just for the hell of it, if anything. Brian won't trade me Mixon. Swags won't trade me Barkley. I'm trying to buy running backs and people won't let me. How weird is that? Like, let me be not me. Or they're looking out for me and they don't want me to, you know, be upset with the decisions I make. In which case, thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Oh, wow. Well, all of our trades are quarterbacks this week. I didn't even realize that. But
QBs. I love QBs.
That was a great song. I loved it.
Thank you.
Let's do one more. We'll do another listener. We have one more listener question. All right. So, yeah, we'll ping pong a little bit. I miss having a ping pong table. I used to have a ping pong table. I used to have friends come over for tournaments. Sorry. That was...
No, ping pong's the shit, man.
I love ping pong, and I'm actually decent at it. Carson Wentz.
I was never good, but it let me not have fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, you didn't have to be good to have fun, because after a while, you just start wailing the ball at each other anyway and just get excited when it hits the table. So the next two are trade out of six trades. This one, let's take the smaller one first. Carson Wentz for the 107 and the 111. Now, I know me and Brian are Carson Wentz fans, but how do you feel, Andrew?
Well, I said when he got hurt in the playoff game that I said I don't understand how he got paid before Dak, and which then, of course, led all of Philadelphia to come after me at that point because I went over a hurt quarterback. But, I mean, Wentz came into the NFL with the elbow issue that he had his senior year. He only played like one or two games. And now... the thing is, if you're a hurt player in college, more often than not, you're a hurt player in the pros. And Wentz had a fantastic rookie year, MVP second year until the knee injury. But since then, like I said, you had the knee injury, you've had the lingering back issues, and the concussion, obviously, you can't really help. But it's tough because I think by 107 in a, I'm assuming, Superflex League, because those are the only ones that exist anymore, right?
Damn straight.
And I just don't know if anyone would follow there at this point. It really just kind of depends on who's ahead of you. But
yeah, I think it's safe to say that quarterbacks are not going to make it to seven in the trade addicts leagues. So you're talking, yeah. This is another trade where you're not getting a quarterback back.
So I would say, oh man, I'd probably say still give me Carson Wentz, even though those are two first round picks and their back half picks. So I think the draft's deep enough to where, as I've said, I think 58 times now, why not make it 59? You've got round two guys that I think can be starters on fantasy lineups. So if you can trade two of your first to go get a starting quarterback, go win a league, why not?
I think I'd pay this for Carson Wentz, and it would be a moment of first round picks, but then it'd be like, no, I believe in Carson Wentz. This is good for me. I'm going to do this and be happy about it. Or if my team is not good, man, 107, 111 are very good picks. Like, it's frustrating that the Trade Addicts leagues are filled with good people, because like, I want to have like a hard stance. I want to be like, no, this side is wrong. This is bad. This side clearly won, but we don't really get to do that very often. Mm-mm. I guess that's a good thing in the long run, but maybe not the greatest for podcasting. But the 107 and the 111, ideally, if you're making this trade, you, again, sending a quarterback, you want to get one. You want Justin Herbert plus something. I don't think that's going to happen. But man, if you're going to walk away at the 107 with like Judy, with Akers, with Edwards-Helaire, plus Justin Jefferson, like, that's awesome. So again, good trade, fellas, good trade. How do you feel, Brian?
Yeah, I want Carson Wentz. It's a good trade, but I want Carson Wentz. I would need an earlier first than the 107.
Okay, that's fine. We could move on. Speaking of rookies in the rookie draft, at Scotty Gill, he is unsure with Tua, and he has the 102 in a super flex and needs another quarterback. And who is someone he should be going after? All he has so far is Haskins and Jones. Now, I think he's talking about trading the 102. Would you give the 102 for Carson Wentz, Brian?
I would.
Okay. Andrew, would you give the 102 for Carson Wentz?
Not to play the landing spot game, but that would really matter. But if we're not playing that game...
No, we're talking right now.
I would probably sit tight. Yeah, I would probably sit tight. Just because, obviously, Burrow's probably going to be 101 unless someone absolutely believes in Herbert. Maybe you're in a league with Dave Gellman. But yeah. Either way, I think you'd be okay with a Herbert or a two at 102. You got Daniel Jones, you got Haskins. I think that's enough to kind of get you through the growing pains of another rookie quarterback, which it sounds like the person's already used to anyway. So I would probably stay pat at 102. And then, like I said, if you go with Herbert at 102, then you got the Daniel Jones, Justin Herbert handcuff.
Or, man, just take Jonathan Taylor and be fine with it. I mean, I won't hate on anyone taking Jonathan Taylor above one of the quarterbacks.
At that point, if you want someone like a Jonathan Taylor, if there's someone that's quarterback needy, like we talked about
trading
earlier
back,
with John Lynch. Yeah, even if it's just one or two spots and get an extra third. Like, an extra third this year is really a second. So if you can get an early third for moving back a spot, I'd do that.
Okay, so I want to play Brian's favorite ADP game. Tua Woo-hoo! Comes in at the quarterback 12 right now in April ADP. I'm going to start a little below him. So Tua or Matt Ryan?
Am I contending?
Let's pretend you have a decent team. You're in Scotty's position. You have Haskins, you have Jones, you have a good team otherwise, but you don't feel safe with Tua. You're going to take Matt Ryan or you're going to take Tua? Matt Ryan's what, 34?
I'm probably taking Matt Ryan. God, I can't say that. No, I'm taking Tua.
Yeah, nice.
Matt Ryan, Tua. I don't know.
I stopped listening to you anyway.
I'll take Matt Ryan.
Okay.
Because I think Matt Ryan could be... I mean, there was a point last year where there was talks of Matt Ryan even getting out of Atlanta. I don't know how, but I think Dimitroff realizes they're going to win now, and I think he's going to kind of do what he can to shore up what they got going on around Ryan. I mean, they've got Julio, and they traded away Sanu, and they lost
getting
Cooper.
Gurley was a big, you know, big push for that.
Yeah, I don't even know if he ever passed his physical at this point. I never saw
that. Yeah, that hasn't happened yet. But again, I'm just going to assume that everything's going to work out normal.
But, I mean, Atlanta's one of those teams where they've got an elder statesman, Matt Ryan. I can't believe I'm saying that because I remember him getting drafted. But
yep.
I just, man, I'll tell you what. And here's the thing. You've got 4 or 5 years probably left of Matt Ryan. And mm-hmm. who's to say Tua doesn't have the same career with that hip? I'm a big stay away from Tua person just because, yes, the hip looks fine now and it's getting past the flying colors, but who's to say we're not in a Todd Gurley situation 3-4 years from now with that hip? I hope it doesn't happen, but it's just something you got to think about. And if you're playing for fantasy and you're willing, just an NFL team has to be willing to put their job on the line. And for fantasy players, more often than not, it's, are you going to want to put your money on a quarterback with 2 ankle surgeries, 1 on each ankle, and a broken hip? Or do you want a former MVP quarterback who puts up consistent 4,000-plus-yard numbers and is fringe 30 touchdowns every year?
All right, Andrew, talk me into it. Matt Ryan.
Okay, so speaking of a 30-plus quarterback who has many 4,000-yard seasons and 30-plus touchdowns, Tua or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh,
I'm still taking Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm taking Tua at that point. I don't know how. I think, oh man, I love you, John Hogue. I'm sorry, but I'm starting to side with Stompy. Like, they want a more balanced offense. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be friendly to Aaron Rodgers.
Really going to have 16 touchdowns again, though? Like, that's the thing.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I hope so, because I have a lot of shares of him, and, you know, we'll find out later when I got another one. No, but, I mean, that's what Jamal Williams is for, because I have a bunch of shares of him also.
Here's the problem I have with Rodgers and moving away from him. I mean, what's the floor? 4,025 and 5 touch or 5 picks? I mean, that's what he does every single year.
He's safe. He's absolutely safe. Like, that's not really my issue. I think at this point, the ceiling is higher for Tua just walking in than it will be for Rodgers, even if it is just for 4 years, like Andrew's worried about. And let's face it, have you ever had a fantasy player on your team for 4 years? I haven't.
Saquon's only been in the league for 3. This will only be 3.
Thank you for bringing that up, Ryan.
You're
that
welcome.
Was very necessary right now.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I want to do 2 more. Tua or Daniel Jones?
Oh, Daniel Jones. I'm not even thinking about it.
I think so, too.
Which is silly, because Daniel Jones for the 102 just doesn't sound like a trade that would actually happen.
No, it would get laughed at the same way it was when he got drafted.
Sorry, it was still a terrible draft pick. Just because it worked, process over results. Just because it worked out doesn't mean it was the right move. I love how many times we've had a Brian roll his eyes this show. It's great. Okay, Tua or Baker?
Tua.
Oh.
Yeah, take that, Andrew.
I'm not a Browns fan. Man.
What's your son's name?
Ow. Grayson Miles, after Miles Garrett. So, which ironically enough, he hit his brother in the head with a toy today. So.
That's awesome.
I literally just thought of that as that came up as well.
Oh, my gosh.
But I would say probably you got to flip a coin on that. I don't think Baker is what we saw last year. The 55% completion percentage. And like, I watched every Browns game last year. It just was absolute hell. But I would like to think with bringing in Hooper and you got Conklin for the next 3 years, they're trying to get him success. And I like to think that Stefanski is going to take a lot of the pressure off of him with Chubb and Hunt. And then from there, I think he will be better. But I mean, I think it's a flip of the coin at this point.
I'm taking Baker. I still believe. I'm not ready to give up.
So you would take Baker over Aaron Rodgers?
Oh. No, I would not do that.
They're like right next to each other. They were at the beginning of last year. They're still at the beginning of this year. And I'm going to say it's team dependent. And it's my show, so I'm going to take that out right now. And even though I'd yell at you if you tried to do it. It's a very hard decision to me. between Rodgers and Baker. But the thing is, I believe in Baker. I'm going to start making stickers. I believe in Baker. So depending, you know, I wouldn't do a one-for-one swap because I hate doing that. But man, if I could find... Oh, hold on. I have the ADP right here. Who's higher? Baker's higher. Would I pay up from Rodgers to Baker? No. Would I take someone who was willing to give me Rodgers plus for Baker? I think it would need to be more of a plus than they were willing to do. So I don't think that really answered the question at all. But I'm going to move on anyway, because again, I'm talking. So I'm just going to keep going and move on, pretend it never happened. Last trade, Addicts trade. Again, this is TA6. And I spoiler alerted this a little bit, but this trade is Deshaun Watson and Daryl Henderson for Daniel Jones, Aaron Jones, and the 309. Gotta love that Jones stack.
I think you did okay here, Russ.
Now, here's the funny part. I traded Shane Aaron Jones like 3 weeks ago, and in true TA form, the second the trade is done, okay, Aaron Jones is on the block. I don't want him anymore. And I'm like, and he kept sending me trade offers. So I'm like, dude, I just gave him to you. I don't want him back. And then I got bored and this happened. I still like Deshaun Watson. I have a lot of him. I now have a ton of Daniel Jones. The reason I did this was because I think I got good value, and that's the only reason I did it. And that's what I preach in the non-point scoring season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you said you did good, but just still, what do you think about this one in a little bit more detail, Brian?
Yeah, so I mean, the thing about Deshaun, well, I mean, it, obviously, if this is before Bill O'Brien decides to trade DeAndre Hopkins for peanuts, you know, I would think you were nuts. But yeah, I mean, I think the value's good. I think there are question marks there about what that offense is going to be like. And look, again, a lot of this has to do with the rise of Daniel Jones towards the end of the season and what people are projecting for him in that Giants offense moving forward here. So, you know, and then Aaron Jones, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a guy who is certainly capable of producing running back one numbers, obviously. You know, so yeah, I mean, I think you got enough value. I'm Daryl Henderson for me isn't. I think Andrew mentioned earlier about the Rams drafting a running back. I think that's very likely. And to be honest, even if they don't, I don't know that he's the guy that's going to get more than 50% of the workload in that backfield. You know, I mean, he has the draft capital, but it's not like, you know, I don't know that I saw enough last year in the limited work that he got to really say that he's going to get, you know, that role. So
I think with Henderson, like you're talking, Brian, and I said it earlier, I don't think they're going to commit to him fully. I could see them going to a committee type thing, but I think Henderson with 150 touches still hits a couple home runs. I mean, his legendary yards per carry in college was 8.9. So that's all he was in college, was a home run hitter. And say you get 4 or 5 touchdowns out of him, I think that's enough to where I'm like,
good flex.
I wouldn't say I'd be ecstatic about the trade, but I would be happier with it.
What's really funny is I'm behind on my podcast, like a week and a half, 2 weeks at this point, just because I don't know. I'm used to, I usually only listen to podcasts on the car on the way to and from work. And since that doesn't happen anymore, like I'm not used to listening to them while I work, which I've started to do, which is weird because I concentrate better with headphones to podcasts. I'm doing the same work. I'm doing the same thing, but for some reason it's closer to my brain. So I just comprehend it better. I don't know. I don't think that makes sense, but I'm going to go with it.
See, when you work with the people I work with, you've been doing that for a while already. You work with better people.
Well, you know, I work at the dining room table by myself at this point. So, I mean, I don't really work with anybody. No, but I've started doing, okay. So the reason I brought this up in the first place was we did this trade. It was me and Shane Manila. And then that night, I got to the Dynasty Trades HQ episode with Graham Barfield, where Graham said that he was a Daryl Henderson fan. So I'm like, you sneaky. I'm like, no, this is my fault. This is what I get for being behind on my podcasts. because the original offer that we worked out did not have Henderson in. And at the last point, he's like, take out the rest of your pieces, put in Henderson, and it's a deal. And I'm like, okay. And again, it's not like I don't believe in Henderson. I agree exactly what both of you are saying. He is not a workhorse. He's not an every down back. No, not many people are anymore. But like Andrew was saying, he's a home run hitter. He is going to be a guy where he's your running back 3-4 on your team, but can give you weeks of running back 1-2 just because he can break 2 80-yard touchdowns, because why not this week? So he's a guy who might be fun to have on the bottom of your starting lineup. But I saw this as a way to even out my Daniel Jones and Deshaun Watson share percentages, because at this point, they must be my two most owned quarterbacks, and it's not really on purpose. But also because Andrew brought up before, is Aaron Jones going to score 16 touchdowns again? I mean, no, he's not. Does he have to? If they draft another wide receiver, that offense moves a little better. He doesn't need to be depended on that much for the touchdowns, which is great because A, more people to pass to means more people not stacking the box. Like, we're acting like we never thought Aaron Jones was good. Aaron Jones is good, and that's fine. Is he going to be the running back 2, 3, 4, whatever he was last year? Maybe not. That's fine. At least at the price I think I got, I didn't pay that, so I don't need that to happen. But even like in startups, he's falling. I don't have it up, and I don't want to edit a really huge breakout while I go look to see where he went in the startup on the middle of, but it was later than it should. It was probably like 5th, 6th round, and that's ridiculous after what he's coming off of. Like, we are so terrified of this touchdown regression that we're completely writing off that he's good at football. So, in summation, I destroyed this trade. Sorry, Shane. I'm the best. I rule. Andrew, did you give your feelings on the trade or not, or did you just jump in about Daryl Henderson? I zoned out.
No. I said I think it's a pretty fair trade. I think when you factor in a little bit of both sides, you get the upgrade at Henderson a little bit from a stat figure, and then Watson, I think, is going to kind of keep taking off. And then obviously Daniel Jones. And I would say it's a pretty fair trade, honestly.
I said I won the trade. I destroyed it. I ruled. Won it.
I don't know why anyone would be so dumb and to fall into that trap, but hey.
Oh man, imagine if the Giants are a-holes and take Justin Herbert, how screwed I will be with the amount of Daniel Jones shares I have. You will see a grown man cry during a live stream. Oh man, I don't know how I'd handle that. Okay, well that's just about the end of our show sheet. Brian, read some stuff.
Yeah, so before we get out of here, just want to remind everybody about the DLF Champions Cup Series. So if you're tired of the same old Dynasty format and think you have what it takes to be a real champion, check out this series. DLF has partnered up with Safe Leagues and Commission Extraordinaire Scott Fish to create the brand new DLF Champions Cup Series. In the DLF Champions Cup Series, you're matched up in a super flex tight end premium division with points and payouts awarded each year. The bonus is that every third year, your cumulative points go up against a larger field to see who wins the Champions Cup. If you think you got what it takes, claim a team today and begin your journey to hoist the Champions Cup and claim the $1,000 grand prize. Go ahead and prove it. Go ahead and visit safeleaguesfantasy.com/DLF Dynasty. I think they just made this easier on us, and I'm going to try to give you the updated link.
Read it. No. Do your job.
Visit dynastyleaguefootball.com/safeleagues to sign up today.
Wow, they did make that so much easier on you. And for good reason, because that original link was awful. Go back to last episode, because I'm not going to make him say that again.
Yeah, and I am in one of these. I got into one of these series, so, and it is a lot of fun. We just completed our startup here over the weekend, and it's a blast. Our particular league is 2 points per reception for tight ends, and I think that's across the board. So it's definitely a twist, and the scoring is fun as always in Scott Fish leagues. So go check that out over there again. Safe Leagues Fantasy. No, I messed it up again. Look at that. This is awful. You're going to have to edit
DynastyLeagueFootball.com/safeleagues. There you go.
Yes.
All right, man, we need to get you some practice. Like I'd say you should do the rest of the pimp outs at the end of the show, but you'll just butcher them anyway. So I'm not going to make you do it. But
thanks for the vote of confidence. Appreciate that.
I'm getting in your head, so you're going to start practicing before the show. But that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Super huge thank you to the myth, the legend, the Mandrew himself. Andrew, why don't you again remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Who do you think you are? I am. No. You can find me on Twitter at...
Bring up those bowling references. Yeah.
Exactly. At Mandrew NFL Draft. You can follow me and all my buddies over at Coast to Coast Scouting at ccscouting.com. Good Lord. Now Brian's got me thrown off.
It's all Brian's fault. That's the way I look at it.
At CC Scouting. Everything I plugged in the beginning is great. The Dynasty Guide's coming out Monday. We're going to actually be launching fantasy coverage on Coast to Coast Scouting, starting with a pod every week next Wednesday. We'll come out on Wednesdays. It'll just be in our normal feed so people don't have to look for it. And I'm going to be working on projections with the template I've got borrowed from Kyle Yates that he put out. That's amazing. And very, very excited to kind of get back into the fantasy a little bit. And like I said, get that quality over quantity at this point is how I feel my work is. One last thing, though, Russ, before I go, and I have date night with my wife as I'm grilling steaks here at the end of the show. Brian, I was working media, so I technically wasn't allowed to do this. So I'm hoping you can just give me one of these. We are...
Penn State.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think that's the best part of that whole chant. So,
next time you're in town, we're going to make sure that we figure out a way to make it happen and get together for at least a few minutes.
Yeah, Brian told me to get to town like early, and I was like, well, I don't think I got to get to town that early. And then I sent him a picture of what felt like 4 miles of traffic and a hot air balloon. So I was like, oh, things get a little bit crazy here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm coming down the day before and crashing. That's
correct.
There you go.
Correct. 6.4 miles from the stadium.
Yes, I've heard.
Oh yeah, we got Richro in the chat too. He's a Penn Stater. So he gave us one too.
All right, so I'm gonna get out of here before this starts again. Oh, by the way, it's gonna get my weird. Facebook feed is just littered with Penn State things these days. I do not talk about Penn State. I'm just saying Brian's hacking my Facebook algorithms. So Penn State shows up. But ffpodshirts.storenv.com. Yes. Go buy some awesome stuff. I'm wearing one of my favorite things from that shop, the 3/4 sleeve Raglan mascot t-shirt. Whew, that was a lot of words. But there's Superflex, Super Show, Trade Addicts, Dynasty Diagnostic, Coast to Coast Scouting. Yeah. Top Shelf DFF, Dynasty Game Night, all of that stuff. There's awesome stuff to buy. 10% of all sales go to Fantasy Cares. Speaking of buying stuff that goes to Fantasy Cares as well, our awesome wristbands, which if you're a patron, you get to see on the screen right now. Neon green, navy blue, $5 per wristband. $2 of each of those bands goes to Fantasy Cares. DM at Brian Hart FF to get you some because he'll draw you a picture too.
I will.
Just, you know, give a little bit of time for ship outs because, you know, not like anybody really wants to go to the post office these days. I mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You get to watch our live stream. You get the amazingly awesome Cool Kids Club group chats on GroupMe. And you get to be part of the Cool Kids. I mean, that's just, isn't that what everyone really wants when growing up? Just to be one of the Cool Kids?
Yeah. I mean, they write songs about it, so.
Exactly. There you go. I don't know what he's talking about.
I wish that I could be like the Cool Kids. You don't know that song?
I do now. I do know the song. I just couldn't think of what you were talking about at the time, but I'm very glad you sang it for us.
You're welcome.
On that note, night, Brian. Have a good date night, Andrew.
I will. Thanks, guys.
Night out, Hal. See you, Andrew.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Hart. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.